This is CliffCentral.com.
Alrighty, there we go. A little tiggy with Sant. Nice, happy. You know, that's the kind of song you should wake up to in the morning. I think I might make that my alarm. I changed my alarm song the other day.
Okay.
To what?
Let me check, because I can't even remember. But it needed something new. I think it's Snoop's P.I.M.P.
Oh,
no.
Wow.
I don't know what you heard about me.
Yeah, that's right. Cadillac, no perps you can't see.
Because I'm a
motherfucking
P.I.M.P.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the business. Now I have those harsh ones.
You have to have something loud, though, because if it's too soft and gentle,
yeah,
you might not wake up.
No, guys. What do you mean? Why do you want to be
shaken,
woken up aggressively? Do you know how grumpy that instantly makes you?
Yeah.
You've got to be. It must almost be like seduction. You've got to be seduced.
Oh, girl.
Your alarm
would just breathe over you.
That's going to lull me into a deeper sleep. Then I will not wake up.
I've tried that and I just go back to sleep. So this is what my body likes.
Definitely. And then you just wake up with a smile and you...
At 4 a.m.
Yeah, well, I mean...
And Sia, what do you like? Loud.
It has to be loud and harsh and several of those. That's still even tame. Just
wow.
Like, what move, bitch!
Is that what you want?
Get out the way.
Is that what you want?
Yeah. Like, oh, wow. 5 past 4, 10 past 4, 4 past 4. Yes.
That's also not good.
And I put it on the other side of my bed, which means to stop it, I have to actually get up and go to
pain.
It.
You know, it could be quite a good one. It's like the Russian national anthem. That'll wake you up. You'll suddenly think there's a choir of people in your room.
For many people in Russia, it does still wake them up.
I think it probably does. Yeah, you're right.
Sadly for them.
Okay, hey, I got to play you this quickly. So Jimmy Kimmel went and asked a bunch of people really disturbing things, but in a very cheerful way, to see how they would react. And people are so uninformed about what's going on in the world today that if you just ask them a question the nicest way possible, they'll answer you as if the news is great. Listen to this. You'll see what I mean.
The idea that North Korea might have a hydrogen bomb would be somewhat alarming to those of us who are here on the West Coast. But we went out on the street today, and it seems like if you ask people a question in a cheerful enough manner, we Americans will offer congratulations for just about anything.
North Korea announced that they finally were able to successfully detonate a hydrogen bomb. The world is excited. People are sending their congratulations.
That's really good.
Yeah, would you like to congratulate North Korea?
Congratulations, North Korea. Finally. I mean, it's about time, you know?
People are so dumb. All right, hang on.
Would you like to say congratulations to North Korea? Any words of encouragement for them?
You know, I think if you do believe that one day you can, dreams can come true, I think.
No, stop.
It's definitely a Disney, you know, thing to do.
Would you say this is a great example of if you can dream it, you can achieve it?
For sure. If you believe you can do it, then you can achieve it.
And North Korea has done that with the hydrogen bomb.
Then that's good for them.
Yeah, you know, you just gotta stick to your dreams and, you know, anything can come true. Yeah, so, you know, we see they stuck to it.
Especially with North Korea and its hydrogen bomb.
Yeah.
Everyone's so excited for them. They're sending their congratulations. Would you like to congratulate North Korea?
Congratulations, North Korea.
Awesome.
Congratulations, Kim Jong-un, on everything you've done. You've done a really good job. Keep it up. Stay safe. Good work.
Congratulations on achieving your dream, North Korea.
Congratulations, North Korea. That's a high five.
I mean, that's just unbelievable, right? Because you know what Kim Jong-un will do when he has his hydrogen bomb and he has a rocket path enough to... He'll nuke those people. Mm. They don't know.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, North Korea.
If you can dream it, you can do
it. We're so proud of you. We're so happy for you. All right. Well, let's get into some news, shall we? It's 11 after 7. Mabs, what do you have for us today?
Okay, let's get an update on triple murder accused Henry van Breda.
He's still not in jail.
Nope. No, Gareth, it's still ongoing.
How many times must we... I mean, we've given our opinion, right?
Over and over.
You know, you would think that they would listen again to us by now, especially because we kind of know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
I think it was Ben. Ben was one of the early people who called it and said, it's definitely Henry, he did it. Anyway, his defense team say that they are considering calling 3 witnesses to testify before placing him on the stand. The state concluded its case yesterday afternoon in the Western Cape High Court, so now it's over to the other side. The state's last witness, blood spatter expert Marius Huber, refuted Henry van Breda's version of events that he was in the bathroom during the attack. He further told the court that the body of Rudy van Breda was moved after he was attacked. His defense proceeded to try and poke holes in Hubert's testimony, specifically the absence of blood evidence relating to Marley van Breda on the murder weapon. Now, Marley has indicated to the state that actually she would prefer to not be available to the defense.
Girl, now, I side with you.
Wait a minute. How does the law work? So if you do not want to testify, if you do not want to be put on the stand, obviously that's something, that's not obvious. Is that something that gets taken into consideration under special circumstances, or do each and every one of us have the right to say, but I don't want to take the stand?
Yeah, but hashtag country duty.
Yeah, I think in some cases you... Like, if you were the only witness there, you are forced to. But I think she's probably going to side by the fact that, amnesia.
No, hang on. She doesn't want to appear to defend her brother. That tells you everything you need to know. You don't need to put her
Okay. Well, that's okay, right.
See? Oh, okay.
She's not available for defense.
For the defense, yes. But right. Might be available for the other. Oh, okay.
No. She said, look, I don't remember. I got smashed in the head. I remember.
Yes.
Because why should she antagonize the only member of her family that's still alive? Even if she hates him, even if she has been kept away from him, as we believe she has, she doesn't want to testify against him. So she's just said, oh, I'm out.
But then the question still remains then, do you have the authority to say, no, I don't want to?
Well, look, she was on the state's witness list to testify. But she was not called because apparently she still hasn't regained her memory. So legally, you know, her team decided, okay, no, hang on. Let's not put her on the stand because we can't trust her memory.
Maybe that's the truth.
And then because she wasn't called on the state's witness list, she then decided, yeah, but then I don't want to be called by the defense.
Yeah, even if it isn't the truth. I would be like, I don't even know what I had for breakfast this morning, y'all. So
the defense can't force her. Is what I'm asking. Once you put in that request,
I don't think so.
That's very interesting.
Well, if they did force her, what if she starts going on about how, yeah, it was definitely Henry. I saw him coming up the stairs with the axe.
Yeah.
Case closed.
Yeah.
To think about it, they've only seen each other once in the past 3 years.
That's a lot of family love there. I think she kind of, even if she doesn't remember all the detail, she sort of knows what happened. It's so obvious. It's so obvious to us. Why is no one else... what the hell's wrong with people?
A lot.
It just seems very anticlimactic that she's not going to be on the stand. This is like Game of Thrones coming back and go, oh yeah, by the way, the White Walkers, they just went home. They weren't so keen in the end.
Yeah, they turned around and went home.
Yeah, they just, you know, it was a bit hot, so they just kind of went home. You know, they forgot the drinks. They just thought, nah, bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder...
So they've found the axe. They've done all the forensics. They've now brought all the state witnesses in.
They analyzed all the blood spatter, all that stuff.
Now they've got the defense. They're going to bring up 3 people first that are going to say what they think happened.
Yes.
And then Henry will do his testimony.
Ooh. And it's, a lot of journalists have been reporting about how just he's so calm.
Yeah.
Henry. He sits there. He's emotionless. Doesn't flinch, has never broken down, doesn't get emotional. He just sits there, expressionless. So I'm just trying to imagine what he's going to be like once he takes the stand.
I don't even think I've heard him speak before.
No, and he hasn't cried. Mm-mm. Now, again, you know, we discussed this, Mubs. If your whole family were massacred by, he says, a complete stranger, an opportunistic criminal, right?
Yes.
You'd be sad. I mean, you're looking at pictures and you're reliving the experience in court. You saw Oscar. He was there at the, you know, he remembered every detail. It shook him up. Even
are
if
we
he
giving
says,
Oscar some kudos?
Even
here?
If he says it wasn't him, even if he says it wasn't him, the guy was emotional, which you would be if you had been around a murder scene.
Yeah.
And you weren't a total psychopath.
You would think so, yes.
This guy is cool as a cucumber. They're busy there. They're deciding his fate. He's about to go to jail. Everything hangs in the balance. He's got no family to go back to. I would be an emotional wreck. But Henry stands there. He's like, yeah, bring it on. I don't think this guy's okay in the head. I really don't. Just
it's safe to say now.
I think it's just an amateur opinion from the side. All right. Anything else
and
that we need to know?
Where does he go from here?
He's going to jail. He's going to go. This judge just has to catch up. Siraj Desai, come on.
Listen to our show. Triple murder accused. Surely that's, that's not going to be 6 years in prison.
It's a lot of time.
It's going to be a while.
It's family murder. Like we always say, you got to check out your family. Make sure they're okay.
Are there levels to that when the verdict gets, or when we try to get to the process of sentencing and coming to the conclusion, does that weigh on it? Like the fact that you didn't kill a stranger, you killed your family.
Well, either it makes it worse or it makes it better. You could argue that he killed his family, so he's not really dangerous to anyone else. He had reason to kill them.
Okay.
Let's say he really hated them.
Oh, that's a good enough reason.
I hear what you say, because it could make it worse.
Let's say that the family, let's say they've been annoying him for years and years and years, and he just lost it. Then you could argue, well, he's not dangerous to the rest of us. Only his family, now that they're dead, he's a safe guy to be around. Or you could argue the other way around. If he's capable of doing this to the people he loves, then...
He's a menace. Yeah.
You're the stiff law
guy. I don't see how he's going to get out of this. I really don't. All right, what else do we need to pay attention to?
Well, I know that typically we deal with a lot of, you know, depressing bad news. That's the way it be sometimes. But I did completely forget to tell you about the story, which involves three police officers in KZN who turned down a 100,000 rand bribe from a suspected drug dealer who was caught at his home with an estimated R500,000 in cocaine.
Was it in the East Rand?
It was in KZN, Gareth.
Oh, wow.
SAPS spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Thulani Zwane said that the officers from the Provincial Drug Task Team and the K9 unit had spent months undercover infiltrating and observing a drug dealing operation, with their work coming to fruition last week. In total, four people were arrested, but not before the said drug dealer, tried to buy them all off, pay them all off, and they all kindly rejected, you know, nope, that's not how we do things. I mean, it's nice to hear stories like
this
every now and again.
Because if you were offered $100,000 in cold cash,
and you're a police officer, I mean, your salary is not great.
No.
Your life is not great, not necessarily.
And for you to turn that down, it's like when Gabisi Jonas turned down that, like, $600 million that the Guptas offered him.
In the Chequers.
In the Chequers. Mm. I don't know if I'd have the strength to say no.
Yeah, I always put myself in the situation and say, oof. And I suppose it would also depend, in that specific moment when you're being offered the bribe, is it during a moment where you really could need the money?
Yeah, like let's say you've got medical bills.
Yeah.
Or let's say your car just broke down. Let's say you've got some side checks to pay for.
Let's say you just lost a loved one and you're thinking, oh, money will make me feel better at least.
Mm-hmm.
But just for the average person in this day and age, you just want to be able to breathe, like pay off some debts.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, not even extravagance of it all.
That dirty money would help with that, because I don't think you get to sleep well at night if you've taken a, because someone owns you then, you know?
Mm.
Oh, and you don't want to be owned by a drug dealer.
Hell no.
A drug dealer.
Because they'll come back and get you anytime they want. And any money that they give you is really just a loan.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't put your head in your pillow at night and have a proper fat sleep. You put your head on your pillow and then the thoughts start racing about, oh, this guy, is he going to come? Is he going to pitch up? Does he want his money back?
Mm.
What if I buy things and I have to give them back? What if I'm living a lifestyle that I'll never be able to keep up? No, thank you. In the end, I think it is the right decision to not do this. And well done to that policeman.
Three of them.
Three policemen.
That really is true. Integrity is doing the right thing, even when no one is watching.
Thank you very much. Good point. Well put. All right. What else is going on?
Rolling Stone magazine. Who doesn't know Rolling Stone magazine?
It's a great mag.
All right.
I haven't read it for a long time, but it is good. I have beautiful cover art. Sometimes they cover some really interesting musicians on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Do good interviews.
Well, they are 50 years old, but seemingly are struggling a little bit, which is why the owner is considering putting the magazine up for sale amid an increasingly uncertain outlook. I saw yesterday Toys R Us was saying how they're possibly going to file for bankruptcy just before the Christmas period.
Ouch.
Yeah. Jan Wenner started Rolling Stone back in 1967. He was a student at the time in Berkeley, California. He now runs it with his son, Gus, but he told the New York Times that the future looks tough for a family-run publisher, which is now he is considering putting it up for sale. He added, "There's a level of ambition that we can't achieve alone, so we are being proactive and want to get ahead of the curve."
Yeah, I think it must be hard in publishing now.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's having an easy time. Magazines, newspapers. Did you see they blew up the Times Media Limited building?
Yes, this past weekend.
Yeah, they did.
They didn't, by the way, in case you think that I'm being dramatic. It wasn't a terror attack. They were demolishing the building. So they just dynamited it. Did you see the footage?
It's the one in Rosebank, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow, what a lot
of
dust.
But what are the exact plans?
Don't know.
Just rebuilding, or they?
Well, that entire building now goes into the cloud. No one needs it.
Shame, poor Rolling Stone.
Last year, the magazine sold a 49% stake to a Singaporean music and technology startup, BandLab Technologies, which is headed by Kyok Meng Ru, who is one of, he is one of Asia's richest people. So, I didn't know this. They've already sold 49% of the stake. But, apparently the magazine's reputation as well as their finances were badly damaged when, back in 2014, they had to retract a story about an alleged gang rape at the University of Virginia, with a review finding that the magazine did not undertake basic journalistic procedures.
I remember that.
To verify facts. Do you? I don't.
Well, I remember reading about it. But there's this thing going on in campuses in the U.S., and it's really, really dangerous. It even happened here at Rhodes, where these girls have claimed that they were raped, for example. Very serious allegation. Turns out afterwards that they weren't. And this happened at the, what was it? Was it Berkeley? I was just reading something about this two or three days ago. And then these girls, you know, they apologize afterwards because they're like, oh, no, you know, it was close. It was sort of, I felt like he was kissing me, whatever. I mean, it wasn't actually, there was no physical rape at all, but they felt like violated in some way. And then the guys, they have to live with that because they've been accused and it's been many months since the girls made the allegation. And then eventually apologized. So the guys' lives are ruined. Often they get expelled from university and all the rest. There's this thing going on. And I'm not going to make too much of a deal of it because I don't know the details. But there are these girls who are doing this all across America on campuses.
So, but now when you say that they're doing this, is this something that they're doing deliberately? Or is it a case of sometimes they go back after the fact and they think, hang on, I'm not sure what just happened there?
Well, it's almost like, totally made up. So it's an attention-seeking move.
Sure.
And then, of course, lives are ruined. So it's very serious.
And you know when you have that connotation? in the court of public opinion.
Oh, yeah, you're finished. Because it's one of the worst things you could be accused of, right?
Definitely. Any sort of harsh label. Definitely. That's it. You're done.
All right. Well, there we go. Who wants to buy Rolling Stone magazine? Anyone here? Amanda, how much you got?
Thanks.
Interested?
No, not enough. I'm out for this one.
Okay. All right. Ben, you still want to make a deal?
No, thanks, Gareth. That's not something I'm in the market for.
See ya. Any interest in the publication?
I'll just look into my spare change. No, don't have enough.
Okay. Okay. Well, sorry. It's just you and me, Mubs.
I still think I would make a ton more money in porn, not publishing. Yes. So I'm going to skip this one as well.
Well,
Not in the porn, just investing.
I wasn't
obviously.
Here to judge. I don't.
You know which magazines are doing well? The very niched ones, like fishing magazines or golfing magazines or those ones do well. Cooking magazines.
House and Hose.
Because they're so House and Hose.
House and Hound. Wait.
They do well because they're targeting very, very small but very loyal and very powerful audiences.
It's true. Niche is the way to go with these things, especially when it comes to content.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, and I don't really think the magazine industry as a whole has completely gotten over this evolution thing of, like, where do we go from here? Do we still print? Are people reading electronically?
Well,
it's not on an iPad anymore, as we thought.
Yeah, there's no way for them to exist in the old way.
But can't the same be said for books as well? Like, your journal paperback maybe will be sliding, but your beautiful, handcrafted coffee table kind of book is still, there's a big desire for these things.
I think so. I mean, I buy books.
Yeah, I still think there's a place for books. Especially because, you know, like...
But they've got to be niche, fancy books. They can't just be...
I don't know. Like, a Kindle doesn't have much appeal for me. I still want to hold it.
I still don't know a single person who has a Kindle.
No, I don't know anyone either.
A Kindle is
I believe people use them. I've seen them on flights.
But a Kindle is like the hanky of electronics. Like, you pull it out of your pocket, everyone's going, ugh.
Oh my God, Ben! But the Kindle came before the tablets, so it's... I mean, what did you want them to do?
Yeah, I know, but like, communism came before capitalism. Ooh. You know, it's like, being the first doesn't mean anything.
Hey, listen to this. This is someone commenting on Henry van Breda. That Henry van Breda was in the same boat as I am. Fucking middle child shit. No one liked him in that household.
Okay.
Whoever sent the message, it's not too late to, like...
Stay where you are. We'll send the police.
Don't plan anything against your family.
And then someone else asked on WhatsApp this morning, 0797482090. They said, what are your thoughts on the Christopher Panayiotou case? Well, what's happened there? Does anyone know? It was in PE, remember, he had his fiancée murdered. He was part of the he got these other two or three guys to do it for him. And then they were all caught. Well, I mean, clearly, you know, our opinion at the time was that this guy's a scumbag.
Yeah, because another case we've just let slip a bit is the one of the murder of Thembisile Yende, the Eskom employee.
Yes. And do you remember the other one of the woman who used to be on the SABC board?
Sure, there's so many now.
The and one her was... son was the drug addict who killed her.
Oh, yes, in that estate. Yeah.
I don't know what's her name again.
I can see the estate in my head from the news reports.
But just because there's less journalists, or the journalists nowadays just are more interested about dresses and
They're reporting
who's
on
getting lit in the weekend.
No, I think the whole Gupta leaks kind of
eclipses everything.
Eclipses, like, every journalist I imagine wants to be seen to be breaking the story related to anything Gupta related. So other stories take like a bit of a backseat.
Well, guys, here's our niche. Here's our little sub business. We just only focus on murders.
But gruesome ones.
People forget about.
You know I'm here for that party.
We can have an hour podcast around
Court
this.
Central.
Do you guys watch the Crime and Investigation channel?
Yes! Yes!
You like that?
How does someone as squeamish as you watch that?
Making a Murderer. Oh, just like Couples Who Kill. Oh, Earth Thing.
Seriously, we need a murder hour every week. We'd have a huge audience.
With the corny music. Dum, dum, dum.
Yes, yeah, we'll take it seriously.
Oh, sorry. Never mind.
No, well, we should.
I just think it's interesting, the psychology behind it. You know, one day someone is smiling, next day they've like killed the entire classroom. It's like, what happened?
I reckon the murder podcast, and we get up and coming aspiring journalists to come and voice their things. We give them a platform.
That's a good idea. Hope then Zinde was her name.
Yes.
Hope Zinde.
There you go.
And that's, that's exactly how the show starts. Hope Zinde. What's happening?
Yeah.
Boom.
Give me hope.
All right. Here's something from
you're
Lee.
You're not involved in Murder Hour.
And I see you. See, we'll make it all schmaltzy. All right. Lee says, hey, guys. Yesterday was my first day back after a 3-week break from work. Ugh. What can I say? It is that I literally do not know what's going on in the world, and my shoulders feel light, well, at least for a day or two. On my last couple of days off, I binge-watched Rick and Morty. Have you watched the recent one where he turns himself into a pickle?
That pickle episode is outrageous.
I still haven't seen it, no.
So good. I'm going to give it to you right now.
Please.
It is so good. And then this comes in from Michael. I loved Sia's session on entrepreneurs who persisted and defied the pressure to lie down and roll over. That's this morning on Said by Sia. I work in the space of helping 55-year-olds or older reimagine life after work via a 2-day pre-retirement workshop. The reality is that most of us can't be thinking of retirement at 62. We can't afford to. We won't earn and save enough in 35 years to live for 40-plus years in retirement. So what's the story? There are three facets. Number one, biggest trend overseas is new entrepreneurs over the age of 50.
Mm.
How's that? Number two, is it possible to reframe mindsets in retirement that you stop having economic value? The world can't afford for you to just put your feet up. There is work to be done and you are needed. And number three, the idea of relaunching your career makes sense if you're over 40, especially those who've had a career break and many only hit their peak in a company between 40 and 45 and will then be the first to be moved out for a younger model. Mm. So that's interesting stuff. Thank you very much, Michael. It's a good email.
I heard of an organization recently called Refirement, which aims to work with people who've technically retired. But it's like, hold up, what can you hone? What skills of yours can you use now and actually earn a living? You don't have to go out there and, you know, overexert yourself, but you're still...
I think that retirement is one of the most stupid ideas we've ever come up with as a species.
Yep.
You've got to keep working until you're just about at the door of death.
Mm.
Because retirement is actually just wasting away. Like, you have to have a reason to get up in the morning and do things. And anybody who has ever stopped working, either because they're very rich or because they've been sick or whatever, mm-hmm. will tell you there's no satisfaction in just waking up whenever you want to and having nothing to do all day. None. I know it sounds nice to those of us who are sick of waking up and sick of working hard, but I'll tell you something. When you're in that situation, 3 days of it, and you want to get back into work.
When you rest, you rust.
That's Gary Player quotes, huh?
It? I don't know.
Listen to him.
I just know that. But that's why old people meddle so much. I'm really not taking the piss. But it's like, that's why they'll call you 8 times a day. Because there's nothing to do.
I always believe that retirement was because people used to have like manual labor jobs. And you physically couldn't pick up rocks anymore. So that's why you had retirement.
Well, that would make sense.
But that doesn't apply to us now. We don't pick up rocks like we used to.
Shame. And also at that age, you probably have a lot of people that you used to know avoiding you. So you feel alone as well. You've got nothing to do. And now you're all alone as well.
Hmm. You know, one of my grand's best friends just passed away last week. And we were talking about her and reminiscing and thinking about it, her life but like her daily life and what she actually did. We actually realized all she did was wake up, have breakfast. Really? I'm taking this seriously.
Well, yeah, hang on, what did she do?
What's her name, Sia?
Give her some dignity in death.
I never knew her name was Gog Mabaso. We just knew her as Gog Mabaso.
Gog Mabaso.
Yes, Gog Mabaso. Oh, she's like my grand bestie. Just wake up, either have breakfast at her place or walk to my grand's house.
Aww.
They were total BFFs. And then they collectively would go to someone else who's lost a friend or a family member. They were like professional mourners.
Yeah.
That is their life because at their age,
everyone's dying. Yeah.
Well, like, I mean, you want to talk about a new career path.
Talk about that.
After retirement. professional mourner.
Now, listen, it's very morbid, but yeah, you could just do their that. Life.
You no. could nail that. You'd be the one crying the loudest.
Yeah.
They start the right hymns at the funerals. They know how to, what to cook and where to cook it. They, like, that is just their lives now.
And I think. And they can do that really good crying that.
Yo!
Even if they didn't know the person, they can turn that on.
No! I was asking my grand the other day, like, how many funerals she's gone to recently. And it's like a thing. Every Saturday, it's just like someone else. Like, you're sad, actually.
Can you imagine what that does to your mind, though?
To because, constantly be going to funerals?
Well, because you're thinking,
horrible.
I'm coming up
well,
next.
Well, my grand loves that. That's how she guilt trips us. It's just like, one day it will be me, so make sure, you know, she's nice to me.
She's doing a prospectus to see what she wants at hers.
I have to say I agree that you should never, ever stop working, because, like, next month my dad actually stops working.
Uh-oh.
Who knows what for, but my mom and I are dreading it.
Like, oh, yeah.
He's just going to annoy us and watch TV all day.
How old is he?
I think he's 61, so he's not even old.
No, 61, you got a lot of energy still.
Well, this is why golf was invented.
No, he's now stopped playing golf, Ben.
Well, this is where his priorities need to be put into line.
Will he just chill with Dick now?
I mean, he will become Dick within a week
if
he sits at home like this.
Oh, two dicks in one household. Jeez, that's
just
a lot.
Like, I think he's just going to cycle and phone us and ask us where we are all the time. Hey, Dick.
Hey, Dick.
La oka pa sinha raku, anta nasango ta tularika, kwa omsa lajuan, vaz ki ta anka pa, wan zulura in.
You see what you start sounding like if you retire. Stop making sense completely.
Oh boy, oh boy.
Someone says they love the idea of murder news. Do it, do it. That's Amelia. Thank you, Amelia. Surely Marley can give insight into the Henry-Rudy relationship. As it appeared, it started there, thanks Stephen.
Marley says that she doesn't remember a lot of stuff.
She don't remember.
I don't know, Stephen.
But it's a good question. Like, has character witnesses been in, like, what did Henry perhaps have against his brother? Because, you know, brothers can be dicks both ways. I mean, he could have cupcaked Henry one day while he's watching a show. It's when you fart in your hand and then you put it over the guy's nose.
I hate my brother!
And he could have been, you know what, that's it. That's it.
Boys are so weird.
That's I'm going to kill you. And he actually meant it one day.
I don't know.
Could have started with a fart. That's my point. So
I don't know. There's so much about that case we still have to get to. Can I go to the email that I got here?
Mm. Okay.
It's from Karina. I often tell people that I go to the Church of Cliff Central for 3 hours a day. Thank each and every one of you for creating such a high-quality environment for us to enjoy, learn, and grow from. Now for the real stuff. So, Gareth, you brought up an interesting, controversial topic on Monday morning. You said that you thought it might get you into trouble. If I may, I'll comment here as to an even more controversial and unspoken issue that arises from disabled parents who want to have children. It'll take some of the heat off of you and perhaps spark some more discussion. Often, says Karina, disabled parents have offspring in order to help them get through their own daily challenges. The reason many disabled parents take such a risk and dare to roll the dice on their children's well-being is in order for them to become a support system. You mentioned that two children are deaf and that the parents are blind and that one of the children is fully functioning. This fully abled child has the burden of the world on their shoulders. The child that can see and hear will have to do so for the whole family, siblings and parents. Mm. Why? Because they can. Often those with disabilities think, how hard can it be, really, when the world is seemingly accessible to those with all their physical faculties? This hearing and seeing child will bear the burden of all the admin, phone calls, logistics, translations. The child will likely not have a semblance of a childhood, as they're brought into the world as proxies and helpers. An adopted child could walk away someday, a biological child is less likely to. How dare I say this? Well, I'm the youngest of three hearing children to a pair of deaf parents. The needs and burden that our parents have dumped onto us has torn the entire family and two generations apart to the point where we all burnt out and we're not even talking to each other. We're so affected by their needs, their wants, and guilt that there is precious little left for ourselves.
Sure.
I was my parents' PA,
for the lack of a better term, from the age of 7. My childhood was overtaken with responsibilities, admin, guilt, and adult issues. Why? Because I could, and therefore I should, and I had to. Those that are physically disabled are not immune to personality disorders. They can be just as callous or as selfish as anybody else, if not more so. Moreover, they're eternally entitled due to the political correctness of pity. For years, I have scoured the internet and in every place I could to see if anyone would broach the topic publicly, and sadly, no one has. Privately, I've had many conversations with children of deaf parents that corroborate my experiences. I do not in any way mean to say that what happens to me happened in all disabled families, but is most definitely common and most definitely unspoken in any public forum. This is more about spreading This is more than about spreading seeds, and is potentially about giving birth to a support system that won't abandon you if you're disabled. It's so cruel, hurtful, and damaging that words escape me. Thank you for touching on this delicate subject. I hope to catch a repeat of that actual episode of Carte Blanche so I can see it for myself. You guys are such a part of my daily routine, and I thank heaven for that privilege. I know you guys work really hard and often exhausted from it. Please rest assured your efforts put seeds in all of us that prompt us to ask ourselves, can I be a better person? Could I do better? Have I considered all the aspects of my circumstances? Have I bothered to educate myself before giving in to reaction? For this alone, you and Mabale, Ben and Sia and Amanda are quite literally making the world a better place in a most sincere way. I'd like to thank you. Hear you all in the morning. And that's from Karina.
Wow. Yo, I wonder how long Karina also had to wrestle with the guilt of feeling that way.
See.
Because you build up this resentment, I imagine, to your parents, but that comes with a lot of guilt. You're supposed to, you know, love them unconditionally, all that stuff.
But they actually only had you so they would have a support system.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's what she's saying.
Yeah.
What a cruel thing to do.
And, you know, we often have discussions like these on the show about how, you know, some people just have kids because they're selfish. And I don't want us to sound, of course, looking around the room, we don't have kids.
Well, none of us have children.
Exactly. I don't want us to sound like we're poo-pooing and putting down parents. But the truth is, I think this is a magnified example of what a lot of people do when they have kids. Mm. And I think we just have to be honest about it as well. We aren't saying you are horrible people for it. But when you think about it, some people just have kids because, like, well, okay, this is a tough spot right now. You know, have tons of kids and listen, take care of yourselves. You know, come contribute back to the family.
Well, Karina's brave to own up to this. I mean, because it's, to feel that way is very real for her. And I think she's probably hit like on a very, very sad truth about why so many people do. And even, you know, Ben brought up yesterday, what about poor people?
Mm.
Well, maybe a lot of poor parents are also having kids.
That's
so they can
it.
Have helping hands around the house.
Mm.
That's all. They do it because they don't want to have extra dishes to clean, and there'll be another pair of small hands that can do that.
I would go that would be the majority of reasoning for kids. It's like a pension kind of plan.
It's a genuine thing here in South Africa because a kid is a monthly grant that you can get from the government, and you use that.
And if you've got nothing, that's a way to get something.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
I think what's tougher about the situation is these parents actually aren't as honest with themselves.
No, and if you ask them, they're going to get cross with you, which is why it takes such bravery for Karina to say this. And for her to say that her parents, I mean, they're not, the whole family's not talking, according to her email, but for her parents to have been deaf and to have these kids and to never be asked any uncomfortable questions, to never be forced to account for the reasons that they did it. Must be really hard on the kids. Once you exist, once you've been made, you know, once someone has had sex and created you, you can't go back inside and
You're
say,
there.
I'm out of here. I'm like, this was not, I didn't ask for this. I didn't want two deaf parents that I have to look after from the age of like 2. That's not right. You have to just take what you're given. And luckily for her, she's able-bodied, but that, she says, doesn't make any difference. She was actually just there as an able-bodied admin person for her parents.
From the age of 7.
So
as soon as you can speak, answer phones, you know,
right.
Go to the shops.
You're put to work. Mm. And again, I will say that watching Carte Blanche last night, on Sunday night, and seeing this family of deaf and blind people, it was not an inspiring story for me. I did not find it moving or hopeful or positive or optimistic. I found it very, very sad and cruel. I looked at these three beautiful little kids. Two of them can't hear because their parents knew when they made them that there was a 50% chance that they would turn out like that. And two of them did out of three.
So when somebody says to you, but Gareth, against all odds, this family are okay today, they've managed to take care of themselves, you say what to that?
Well, I say, why create obstacles? And then when you've overcome them, say, oh, look, I overcame those obstacles. But you made the obstacles as well as getting over them. It's not an achievement then. And I don't mean to be callous about this because I don't have the experience in terms of children, able-bodied, let alone disabled children.
But it's not easy. That's reality.
But if you are in a minefield, you don't jump. You walk very gingerly. If you're in danger, you don't look for trouble. You know what I mean? Try to secure yourself. If you're a person who has a possible, like you might be able to produce a child, but that child could be very, very sick. Is it a responsible thing to have that child? And then when it's born and it is sick, you go, well, we're going to overcome this together. The kid didn't ask for that. You have some kind of life journey you feel you need to complete. Why bring another person into pain?
And if you really can handle that on your own, fantastic. But you said these people were on TV because they needed donations.
No, they had donations for the hearing devices for the kids. So, and that's nobody's fault. I mean, again, poverty can't be held against you. That I don't believe. But I think you have a certain duty to make responsible decisions. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all I'm asking. And to have children is probably the most responsible thing you'll ever do. It's a part of your life forever. And that child is going to be a good or a bad member of society.
Because of you.
They will be a Henry van Breda or they will be a Sia Sangweni. And if you produce a Henry van Breda, the rest of us are going to have to fix your fuck up. You understand? And that's
amen.
Not fair because I didn't ask for that and neither did Mabali or Ben or anyone else. And yes, you can go on TV and tell your story of triumph, and everybody deserves to. And this is I suppose in some way, shape, or form, it is a moving tale. Because who would have guessed this family could have made it? And they have.
Mm-hmm.
But they've all the way, they've made bad decisions.
People roll the dice every day.
Yeah.
And then they hope for the best.
Whew. I don't know. On that topic of parents having kids for their personal gain, here in KZM, some parents drink during pregnancy so that the kids are born disabled.
What?
This allows them to have an over 1,000 rand grant from SASSA, which is sad. It's one of the worst situations I've encountered when working in rural communities. So they create...
Someone would consciously...
They create fetal alcohol syndrome so their kid is born retarded or disabled or... So they can get 1,000 instead of the normal 200 and something.
Yeah.
Girls at work always ask what I'm going to do when I get old because I don't have kids to look after me. That's a really shitty reason to have kids if that's your end goal. I never wanted kids, Michelle.
Yeah, I've heard that way too many times as people saying, but then what are you going to do in your old age? Your kids are meant to take care of you then. Who's going to take care of you?
Yeah, how about like looking after yourself and making sure that you have enough money to hire someone to wipe your bum and all that stuff when you're too old, but to make your child do that work for you? That's cruel too.
But you did it for them when they were born, is the counter argument.
It's a good argument. All right, how about this? A doctor who says, as a GP, I've seen this, and the normal kids in these families where there are disabled kids have suffered terribly because they end up being the parents, right, by proxy.
Mm-hmm.
I think people look at retirement wrong, says someone else. It's not supposed to be a time where you sit on your backside and do nothing. It's a time that you've earned for yourself so you can finally do the things you want to. If you want to write a book, you want to see the world, start your own small company, that is the time. You have the funds and the experience to make it a success. And here's it's another story. There was apparently a double murder in Paul the other day where a couple were found dead and their house burnt down. No one even covered this. Just one or two articles at News 24.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll try and, you know, we'll try to get to everything. What else is going on? Let's get one or two stories in before we get to Ringo Madlingozi, who's our guest after eight.
Well, a Data Must Fall protest has apparently been taken right to the doorsteps of all the four big major networks today. R2K Gauteng are the ones leading the pickets against the mobile giant's offices. They're demanding that action be taken to ensure the cost of data and airtime is affordable to all the people of South Africa. R2K have said, you know, these are follow-up actions after service providers failed to act on demands that have been continuously presented to them since R2K initiated the campaign against the high cost of communication back in 2013. To date, none of their demands have been met. So today, they're getting ready to go and knock on the doors of MTN, Vodacom, Cell C.
Wow.
Who's the other one?
Telkom.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck.
Hey.
Good luck. I mean, I went to speak to these guys.
Last year, no?
Yeah. We had some good meetings. We had some okay meetings. We had some pretty rotten meetings. But I don't know that you're going to get them to come down. And I'm not sure what their margins are in these things because you hear different reports. And having spoken to some of the guys, I can tell you, it's not like they're milking us completely. There are infrastructure costs that we don't think about, the towers that have to be put up everywhere, the generators that have to run those towers when power's cut to them, the security. You know, we see their advertising money and we think, lots and lots of cash.
Well, have a listen to some of R2K's demands because they did say that South Africa has some of the highest data and airtime costs in the world. That's what they say. So, some of the demands include affordable data and airtime for all South Africans. All SMSs should be free as they cost the operators almost nothing to transmit. Although these days, we're all using WhatsApp, aren't we?
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, most of us, I think.
Yeah.
Everyone should get a free basic amount of airtime and data in the same way as free basic water and electricity. ICASA to regulate the cost of airtime and data to stop profiteering. Data bundles should not expire if they are unused. I don't think any of us have a problem with that.
That's a good idea. Why does that happen?
Who knows?
That's a stupid rule.
I paid for it.
Yeah, it's yours.
I've paid for the full amount.
Right.
So you've got your money.
Thank you very much. You're the new Minister of Communications.
Oh, no.
Done. That's it. You know new what? Job.
I don't know that getting into government right now is a good idea or a good time to do it. So I'm going to decline. Thanks.
Right. Okay, Mabs. Anything else you want to throw in there?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, let me tell you, this is quite an exciting thing. You know that we went to the launch of Rockets in Bryanston, a brand new restaurant up the road here. The Restaurant Association of South Africa has held their Rosetta Awards for 2017, and Rockets came out tops.
Halala.
How do you like that? Hey, congratulations to them for winning in the best restaurant category. Now you understand why we've been singing their praises for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said to me the other day, you guys spoke about this place. Do you go there? Really? It's like, yeah, of course we do. I'm going to talk about it if we don't go there and we don't like it. And look. It wasn't just us. Dun, da, da, da. Here you can see, I have the information in front of me. They won an award, the Rosetta Award, for the best restaurant in Johannesburg. How do you like them apples?
That's major for them. Congratulations.
Very, very nice. Coming up in the next couple of minutes, we have the great Ringo Madlingozi. I'm very pleased to see him. He's sitting outside. He looks fresh. He looks ready to take on the day. And I can't wait to talk to this man. He's a legend. what he hasn't done for South African music. Yo, it's incredible. In fact, I'm going to play you one of his songs before we bring him in here.
Oh, yes.
You know this. Everyone knows this song. He must be a little bit sick of it, but the rest of us still love it every time we hear it. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Ow!
This is CliffCentral.com.